This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Zion Johnson, who made his debut.
Fabulous.
It was really great. No surprise. Smart dude, great player.
Eric McClain coming up at 8:30. Kenny Pickett, 9:30 on this Wednesday edition of Packer and Durham. College football playoff, the third iteration released last night, right?
Nothing to see here. Top seven stayed the same. No surprise. The good news, Wake Forest jumped up a couple spots.
We're still playing this Michigan-Michigan State game, huh?
You know, I had Gary Barton on the radio show last week, and he tried to explain it. And
how'd that go?
You know, I think, you know, everybody's got their opinion. It's all going to work itself out is the bottom line to all this stuff.
Government correction, you think?
Well, I mean, you got, you know, Michigan State's got Ohio State this weekend. I mean, somebody in the top seven is going to lose. You know, off you go. That's how that works. So it'll work itself out. But head-to-head's got to matter. But as far as the ACC goes, I thought it was good news. Wake Forest is in the top 10.
10, yeah.
Jumped up a couple spots. Pitt jumped.
After the loss to Carolina, they recovered back to 10 in one game.
Well, you do that by beating a ranked team in NC State, who time was 16. The Wolfpack dropped 4 to 20. Pitt moved up three spots to 18. So you have three ACC teams in the top 20. Wake at 10, which is beautiful. Yeah. And now they've got to go win on the road at Clemson, where that has never been easy for anyone. Tigers have won 33 in a row at home. And then a road trip to Boston College, and you just heard from Zion Johnson. They're playing good football. They're at home. They're playing with confidence, and it's going to be chilly in Chestnut Hill.
We had, I think you brought up something. We had at one point, I think, a little AccuWeather on BC Saturday.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, it got a chance.
Well, I don't want to, you know, for the good folks down there in Tallahassee who are feeling great about their big win against Miami. You know, I'd say layer up. I mean, this is not the Sunshine State.
Can I just tell you how excited Roddy Jones and Taylor Davis are that we're going to Miami Saturday? There it is, 45 at noon.
It's not bad. Yeah, that's actually perfect football weather.
Right. Roddy and Taylor are really excited about the Miami draw as opposed to this draw.
Well, whatever. But my point is, when you live in Florida, 45 will feel like 15. I lived in Florida for a year. Went down at the Blockbuster Bowl. Yes. It is amazing.
The Blockbuster Bowl.
The ball's right there behind
you. I'm
well aware.
It's right behind us.
When you live in Florida, especially down where you're headed, your blood gets so thin. It's amazing how quickly you adapt to, man, I like 92 degrees.
Uh-huh. All right. I'm with you.
And all of a sudden you get up there in a little chilly locale.
That's it.
Man, it feels like you're in Antarctica. Mm-hmm. So be a good football game. Florida State feeling good. Big win. Yeah. BC with their man back. Good ball game.
Yeah, could very well be. Let's get to conference cuts, shall we? Dave Clawson first on deck on what it's like watching fans storm Truist Field last Saturday night.
Well, it was really cool. My daughter, who you all know I'm really close with, that she came down after the game and gave me a big hug. And, then I was shaking the NC State players' hands and hugging some of our players. And then you saw all the students come down. And I was kind of in the middle of it. I just kind of walked up to our locker room that I had a little bit of an elevated view. And, my daughter was hugging me and I had my arm around her and I was just watching it. And I just said, this is pretty cool. This is, you have those kind of surreal moments that you just want to suck it in and enjoy it. And our players could have stayed out there for 3 hours and I would have waited. I just really said, this is cool. And usually after a game, hey, get in. And I'm like, no, let them stay. They've earned this. We had all those students there and they felt part of it, which is important. And it was just, it was one of those moments that it's not going to happen too often. And so when it happens, you need to be able to enjoy it.
Coach has it totally in perspective with that. But I will tell you, I thought when I was doing Sweet 16 this week, for a second, I thought about putting the Truist Field PA announcer, who had to announce like three or four times to leave the field.
Right.
And here's Coach talking, man, if they wanted to stay out there for 3 hours, man, take it all in. Yep. Soak it in. You've worked hard. You've deserved it. It's a great game. Fun game to watch. And Wake's hot, man. People are buzzing about the Digs and Dave Clawson.
spectacular moment for Wake Forest last Saturday night, and certainly for the job Dave Clawson's done building it. Dabo Swinney and Clemson welcome the Deacons to Memorial Stadium.
Absolutely, no question. I didn't vote this year, though. It's the first time in my head coaching career I opted out. I opted out of that. 13 years of doing that, you know, because you know all the drama last year. That was just a distraction from my team that, you know, based on what I felt. So just something I could just eliminate, because it don't matter anyway. Who cares? I mean, I think it just comes with who we are as a program. And, you know, nobody wants to give our opponents any credit. I mean, Georgia's pretty good. They're pretty good. I mean, I think we played them pretty good. Probably scored the fewest. Only scored 3 points on us. We scored the other 7. NC State, pretty good. Pretty good team at their place, double overtime. You know, Pitt, they're pretty good at their place. Had our chance to win it. You know, so I think it's more Clemson stinks as opposed to the opponents are good. And I think that's just something that just kind of comes with who we are as a program. But whether that's fair or not, I just think, you know, we've lost to some good teams that were better than us that day.
Dabo and his top 25 prospects, and it's interesting that he got away from the poll, the coaches poll, because why would you want to subject yourself to it? It's just another layer of criticism for a program that's had success.
I have said this for day one. Why would anybody do it?
Right.
I mean, if I'm a coach, I got more important things. I mean,
that's it.
The coaches poll isn't even irrelevant. I mean, it's not even to the point of being irrelevant. The AP poll serves nothing more than a barometer to give you something to chew on before the season starts. Mm-hmm. There's one poll. There's only one poll that matters, and it comes out in November.
Right.
It's the college football playoff poll, and even folks are yelling and screaming about those rankings. So I don't understand why any coach does it.
Yeah.
Be honest with you.
Jeff Hafley next from Chestnut Hill. He talks about his team's ability to come back from a big deficit, and does it carry over from game to game?
We were in those moments earlier in the year, and we went the other way. That's what I was most proud of in that game. I mean, I don't know, you guys, if you've ever been around a game where it was 21-7 in the first half, but you get in the locker room, then it's 28-21. I've never seen that before. I've seen comebacks. You go in the locker room, you're down 21-7, you come out, you push through, you win. I mean, we scored 21 unanswered points right after that first quarter. And that's what I told the team I was most proud of. That's a big learning moment. We had some last year when we came back. We haven't had them this year. So to be able to come back when you're down 14 and things don't seem like they're going in the right way, they seem like they're going opposite, that is a great moment. It's a great moment to build on for the team and for the future. And I was proud of the guys for that.
I just mentioned to you, I think Florida State BC is a intriguing game because you got two teams that are sitting there going, hey, if you're Florida State, you've got to be on a high, right? They come back, win against Miami at home.
Yep.
We had Mike Norvell on the show this week. You could just sense the energy of the, what that game can do for you down the stretch. And here you are with BC. You know, you got your guy back. Hey, October looks like rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. I think they're dangerous. I think they're dangerous for Florida State. And whatever happens with Wake Forest this weekend, I don't think the Deacs want to go to Chestnut Hill in a must-win to win the division.
I think you're right.
I don't think that will be easy.
Let's go to Tallahassee. Mike Norvell speaking to the media outside after practice. How much better is Boston College with Phil Jurkovec, Coach?
He's huge. I mean, he's an NFL quarterback. He's a guy that can go and, I mean, he can make all the throws. You know, he moves well. He's a competitor. They're undefeated with him here this season. I mean, they've won a lot of games over the last 2 years when he's in the lineup because, you know, he does a great job of managing the game, but he also just, you know, his skill set is one that is very dangerous. And so, you know, we're excited for the challenge. And they've got a couple, you know, really dynamic receivers. They've got, you know, tough, hard-nosed running backs. I mean, this offense, it can challenge you in a lot of different ways. And, you know, defensively, it's one of the top-ranked defenses in our league. So, I mean, this is it's going to be an absolute battle, and we are fully aware of that. Having to go on the road, longest road trip this year, and it's ending ACC play. And how do we want to leave our mark, and what do we want that to look like?
It's kind of like the old Sennheiser condenser microphone on the old tape recorder. We got the Almost like the wiretap audio there for Mike Norvell for you.
I don't know what was going on in the background there, but nevertheless, Coach, feeling good about life. Like I said, big win. I can't emphasize how important a win that was for Florida State.
Sound like weightlifting being done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not by us, of course.
No, no. That would not happen. All right. Can I share a story with you about recording audio every once in a while? This goes back a few years, but it popped in my head when I heard that.
Go ahead.
So a few years ago, several years ago, 20-ish years ago, more than that, actually, almost 30 now, hard to believe, I was in one of those groups where everybody's interviewing one person, you know, and they had their microphones or whatever the case may be, and sometimes you see the flag on the microphone identifying, you know.
I'm somebody.
Sports 900, the Joe, or whatever it might be. So we're in this group around a coach. And all of a sudden, this guy holds up what basically is a clock radio. It's got the time on it. Holds it up like that. And the coach looks at it. He says, "Oh, no, I'm recording. Just speak into the numbers."
Oh, my God. Who was it? Do you know? You're not going to tell me anyhow, even if you know.
We got to protect the innocent.
No, you don't.
Yeah, we do.
It's 30 years ago.
No.
Let me ask you this. Is he alive today?
In the business?
Yes.
In the business of... No, he's no longer in the business.
I think, go ahead.
No, I'm not doing that. Speak into the numbers.
What do you think? He's got his resume out?
I'm not.
Guy's talking into a clock radio.
I just told you a story. We're not indicting people.
Is he a local?
No. This is another market altogether.
Well, there you go. Let it rip.
No, we're not letting it.
Guy's career is over.
No, we're not...
You're not going to ruin his career. You don't think he ruined his career when he brought a clock radio to an interview?
With a microphone on it.
Come on, tell me, who was it?
It sounded like that.
Who was it?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, you are gutless.
I am. All right.
You are totally gutless.
I'm protecting
people. You can't tell that story.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, that's so weird.
That's right. Sure, because it's just an industry
moment. What states he live in?
Tennessee, I think.
What market? Knoxville?
I'm not sure. Nah, maybe Cookeville. Who knows? All right, let's go. Jeff Collins is next. Collins was asked how they've been in every game but one, and can they manage to get over the hump of losing the close ones? And how does he think Georgia Tech's going to turn it around? Here's the 404.
The critical points in the game, the unforced errors, even though there are fewer and fewer, they obviously continue to hurt us. But a dear friend of mine sent me a quote from Bobby Bowden, and I actually wrote it down. A program is rebuilt in four stages. You know, sometimes you're going to start off by by losing by a lot. Then you close the gap and you start losing close games. Then you start winning, finding out and winning close games. Then you start winning big games. And, unfortunately, we're still in that phase trying to get over that hump. But we're closer than we are far away. And I think the lessons that we teach our guys and the attention to detail, having the right process, all of those things are the right thing, because you can't, that game last year up in Chestnut Hill, completely different game. And we're down four scores with 12 minutes left in the third quarter. And obviously narrowing the gap doesn't change the win-loss column, but just the guys are doing it the right way. They're playing hard. They're competing. And just the one or two plays that are keeping us from getting the wins, we got to find those. And then, conversely, make more on the other end to get the win.
Tough way to close. Notre Dame and Georgia.
On the road.
Left for the Jaguars.
Or no, Georgia's in Atlanta at noon, but still.
Good luck. Play hard.
Yeah.
You want to ruin the college football playoff rankings? Georgia Tech's your team.
Yeah.
They could really screw things
up. Oh, my God.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. Kenny Pickett coming up next hour. Eric Macklin about 15 minutes away.
That's right.
But, Wes, we had the good fortune of touching base with the signal caller of the Louisville Cardinals yesterday.
Yeah, Malik Cunningham joined us fresh off of a tremendous game on Saturday, right, in the blowout of Syracuse. And we asked Malik this: was it Lamar Jackson's retirement and the presence of old number 8 that fired up number 3?
It's always good to have a former player back, so why not put on a show?
Malik, let me tell you something. I'm watching the game. I see your post-game interview. They asked you about running in Lamar Jackson, and you said, man, he looks old. You said the man looks old.
Come on. You didn't say, really?
Yeah. I told him that.
See, Lamar Jackson looks like an old man out there, man. I know how much you look up to him, right? I mean, your game really is very similar, and he kind of changed the world at Louisville and college football the way he played. And man, watching you this year, I mean, it's really been a joy to watch. I mean, you can run, you can pass, great leader. I know you've had some tough losses in the fourth quarter, but I know you look up to Lamar by going, guess what, man? If my game's in his neighborhood, we're going to be okay.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Malik, what was it about Saturday? I mean, there have been some tough losses for you guys. I saw you a couple weeks ago when you turned it on against Boston College. It feels like y'all might be catching stride again here going down the stretch. Certainly Saturday against Syracuse, quick week now to get ready to go to Duke. And then, you know, nothing has to be said about what the end of year like with Kentucky visiting is going to be. So does this feel like it's once again on the upswing for the Cards?
Oh, yeah. I mean, considering the loss we've had and how we have lost those games in the fourth quarter, just put a fire under the guys, me and the guys, and the coaches as well. So, I mean, nobody likes to lose the way we've been losing. The last loss was 2 yards away, and we just got to execute the play that's been called. And so Saturday we put our foot down and said they're not going to come here and take nothing from us, and we put up a dominant game.
Had it feel good, though, having one of those kind of games, though, didn't it? I mean, after all this craziness in the fourth quarter, I really thought going into it, it'd be a fourth quarter game with you and Syracuse. But, man, you guys jumped in from the get-go, and that's got to be fun, though, right? I mean, you finally get a game where you can just go play, relax, go do your thing. You're on a roll. Team's playing well. That had to feel good.
Yeah, Coach always preaches, leaders as well, to start fast and finish strong. And we started fast. I think we had 21 or 28 points in the first half, and that's a great way to start. Any team would love to start like that. And we just got to finish a little better in the third and fourth quarter, and that's what we're working towards.
All right, I want to dive into some of your numbers, and it's been interesting to kind of to watch you in this progression. There are all sorts of stats where you're up. I mean, 5, 10, could be as much as 14 yards a game, could be percentages and completions, things like that. Of all the things that you've done on a higher level this year, which one are you most proud of?
I really don't look into the stats because without my teammates and the guys up front and the coaches calling the plays, none of this would be possible. But I mean, I hear it every now and then. My brother tell me the rushing touchdowns and things like my coaches get on me all the time, talking about me pulling the ball in the red zone, things like that. But I really don't get too much into the stats. I mean, as a team player, just trying to do what's best for my team and whatever can help us win.
Has this played out the way you thought it would for you personally this year, Malik?
I would definitely say no, considering the loss we had. But I've definitely played a lot better than I did the last 2 years, so that's a plus. But it's all about the team, so we left a couple games out there. We just got to finish out strong.
Well, first of all, I love the whole attitude is about the team. So I'm going to change the direction and put it about you now, okay? Lamar Jackson, we were sitting here talking about Lamar Jackson Day and you having some fun. See that old man? Yeah, I talked to that old man after the game. We all remember Lamar jumping over all of Syracuse on his way to win a Heisman. Malik, in your career at Louisville, I want you to brag a little bit here. Give me the one Malik Cunningham moment for you. I know what Lamar's is, right? When he jumped over Syracuse, and we still watch it and go, oh, my God, I can't believe I watch it. But so what is it for you? Like when you watch a highlight of, all right, hey, it's all about the team, I get all that. But give me the one Malik Cunningham moment where you went, hey, you know what? I got to admit, man, I juked out everybody. Maybe it was a great throw. I don't know what your answer is going to be. You tell me. What is it?
This year or just in, like, in general?
Whatever you want. This is your world.
I would definitely say freshman year we played UK, and I had like a 75-yard rushing touchdown. That's probably the longest touchdown I've ever scored since like Little League, so I'll never forget that day.
Was there ever a move that you, because I love watching you on the option. I mean, it, I know you like throwing it too, but man, I love it when you get to the corner and it's like, okay, who's going to get absolutely posterized here? Give me a one that you had said, all right, we're running the option. I get to the corner and now you just put a move on somebody. You went, yeah, man, gotcha.
I'll say last week I had one. We played Clemson like 2 weeks ago. I had one. And it was I can't remember the other game. I like faked out the pitch guy the guy who was coming for me. He went for the runner. I mean, for the receiver coming around the edge. But it's been like three or four of them that I will definitely look back on this season and be like, dang, that was a good move.
Yeah, I tell you what, the one you had against Clemson that you scored on from 50 yards out mm-hmm. was a fake left go right. I don't think they laid a hand on you. I don't think they laid a hand on you.
They was giving us the outside little read option, so coach was calling and I was like, dang, I wasn't expecting them to give me the edge like that.
Well, they gave you the edge and then they said, no, we're not doing that again, right? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
We often hear from coaches about the short week, and you're good enough to spend a few minutes here with us, but playing Thursday after playing Saturday, from a player perspective, Malik, how hard is this?
It's pretty hard, but it's all a mental thing. If you love a game of football like I do, anytime they schedule you a game, if they can schedule us every day, I'm giving 100%. Me and my teammates mm-hmm. giving them all I got, and when we had quick turnarounds, I low-key I like that because just get a chance to showcase, get back out there, and considering the game we just had, teams fired up and ready to play on Thursday night.
Dude is a baller, and Duke better get their tackling shoes on because that guy right there, number three, can go the distance.
Roddy Jones, Matt Barry, and Quint Kesnick have the call for you Thursday night for Duke and Louisville.
I'm not worried about who's calling it. I'm more concerned about how Duke's going to try to stop it because I don't know if they can.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that one.
Duke hasn't stopped a whole lot of anything here lately.
That's been tough.
And I think Louisville figured out a way to make sure they don't blow a fourth quarter lead. That is lead by 38. That helps. I'm dead serious.
I hear you. I
really thought that game last week was a fourth quarter game, and it was over in a hurry.
Yeah, it was.
And I think Louisville's sitting there going, all right, Duke, cool, watch this.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Eric McClain, dudes everywhere.
World gets really small once you get a chance to leave the basement.
I know. Once you get out on the horizons, Pat, where's E-Mac? Let's come on, son. I mean, there I am last night in Greensboro. Next
when you
thing
leave
I know,
the basement, hey, the world gets small, man, when you leave the basement.
All right, let's get to some – by the way, Eric McClain brought you by Orvis, apparently. All right, when we get started – I have one question. Krispy Kreme or Dewey's last week?
The Krispy Kreme is always a classic, but when you can go to a local bakery that has everything you could ever imagine, that's the move. I mean, it was like I was in Candyland. Everywhere I looked, I just wanted something else. It was unbelievable. Thank you very much for the suggestion.
All right, so let's once again confirm. Packer and Durham steered you right. Is that correct?
Yes, 100%. Okay. You guys have not missed, ever.
Well, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but we don't miss, but you better have included Bojangles because they're writing a check, and that one's really even more important than Krispy Kreme or Dewey's. So you better grab some Bojangles and tailgate out there.
It's a big miss that we don't have a bow box and biscuits all over our set to start the show on Saturday morning. I mean, I don't know who I need to talk to, but we need to figure that out and get it done.
First of all, I know who to talk to, and the fact that they don't have Bojangles littered all over this basement every day is a crying shame. But that's just me. That's just me.
I agree with you, Pat.
Are you guys, by the way, I didn't see this in the copy we just read. Are you guys back in studio this week?
We're back. Can you believe that?
That's really disappointing.
I was hearing whispers that there was a chance that we could go hang out in the Steel City, but the big dog stole that away from us. So we're just hanging out in Bristol, you know, our beautiful studio. I know Coach and EJ will be very happy. A controlled temperature climate for them. I know they'll be happy about that.
Well, I saw EJ bundled up, and that was my point about Florida State at BC this weekend. Those boys in the Sunshine State.
That's right.
I mean, you get used to that warm weather. You go get a little chill. It feels a little different. And listen, we got a lot of big games. I mean, this Pitt-Virginia thing is really priority one. Wake Forest is looking to punch their ticket. We'll get all that stuff. But I do want to start with BC and Florida State. We just talked with Zion Johnson, and he was awesome. Mike Norvell and the Noles get a humongous win on Saturday. Really emotional. That's an early kick. It'll be nice and crisp. BC feels like they're playing with house money with their quarterback back. And for Florida State, there's still a chance. Some unfinished business. Hey, can you get to a bowl? All that great stuff. How do you think that plays out Saturday?
Yeah, well, I know BC is feeling as confident as ever having Phil Dracovic back. And when you have a guy that can just do so many different things for you with his legs. I mean, scoring a hat trick of touchdowns on the ground last week and, you know, bombing it out, finally seeing Zay Flowers. You guys are on cue with these. Great, great highlights here. You know, just getting it to his big wide receiver down the field. And, you know, I know that feels good. I know that feels good to have that, you know, ability back to where we can stretch the field vertically. We can run it wherever we want. And then, of course, the play action as well. Really, when you can play three phases of offensive football there, it's hard to stop, and it's something that's going to be very interesting to see. Okay, now we're going against a Florida State team that's, you know, feeling good, feeling confident, coming off of a huge win against Miami, and really seeing Jordan Travis play the best that we've seen him play this season, you know, through the air and effective on the ground. So it's going to be a great matchup. Will be interesting to see that weather. You know, if it's 40 degrees or so, maybe a slightly under, you know, how are those guys down from Florida going to react to that?
All right, Eric, let's jump into a little bit of two-phase here about programs as opposed to the game itself with these two. Florida State needs to learn how to validate wins under Mike Norvell. This is really kind of the first time they've had a game, a big emotional win. Now, all of a sudden, they got to go validate it, right? I mean, with some semblance of an organization. Last year kind of is a wash. In Boston College's case, you kind of bounce back a little bit. You come from a deficit last week in Atlanta. You end up pounding Georgia Tech. Now, all of a sudden, doesn't Boston College and Florida State both kind of have to take another step in their big program, not just 21 here this Saturday?
Absolutely. I mean, these are two young coaches that are trying to continue and grow their culture, their brand, their teams. And that's how you do it, is by winning and by stacking wins, you know, together and big-time wins, not G5, not FCS. You know, big time conference wins together. And that's what both of these guys are trying to do. So I'm with you, Wes. I think that this is, you know, very important just for, you know, both of these programs to say, okay, we can go out and do it after a major win, after a huge emotional win against our rival. If we're Florida State, we can then go on the road again and beat somebody else. And for Boston College, same thing, after traveling and coming from behind and really putting all our effort into it. We can take a big dog at home, a big brand, when we see that Seminole walking in and, you know, not have any fear and know it's all about us. So really interested to see how aggressive both of these teams are going to be from the jump.
Pitt, Virginia. Oh, it's pretty simple. Panthers win, they're in. They're heading to Charlotte. We'll talk to Kenny Pickett coming up at 9:30 this morning. For Virginia, Mac, you know what? Is it as simple as, hey, can Brennan Armstrong go? Because if not, we kind of saw what that looked like against Notre Dame. It wasn't pretty. Pitt's got everything to play for. So does Virginia. But what do you think happens if number five can't go for the Hoos?
Yeah, Pack, it's all about that. I mean, my key to the game for Virginia is Brennan's health. And if he can play, you know, how do they protect him? You know, talking with Coach Rick last week, he said, listen, when you have an experienced quarterback, when you have a great quarterback, you don't necessarily want to max protect. You want to get guys out in space. You want to get him quick outlets if he needs to, and not necessarily keep, you know, six, seven guys in, because then the defense can just tee off because there's only two or three guys running, you know, routes and out in space. So it's going to be really interesting, you know, to see that if he does play. If he doesn't, Pack, it's going to be tough sledding. I mean, I think Pittsburgh absolutely blows these guys out of the water, because five, Brennan Armstrong is just so impactful. He's so productive. He's the guy. I mean, I don't think there's anyone else in the ACC. If I remember correctly, around 74% of his team's production in what Brennan's doing. So it's going to be very tough for Virginia if their QB1 is not out there. And then just to see the continued growth of this Pittsburgh defense, I mean, it has been very inconsistent, but they are doing what they always do best, and that's get after the quarterback right there amongst the top in the country in regards to total sacks. So that's not a thing you want to see if you're Virginia having a injured quarterback and if he plays. It's a scary thought.
All right, here's the other part about Pittsburgh, too. They're kind of break or bust, right? They're breaking free to get to the quarterback, tackles for loss, plays behind the line, interceptions, or it's a bust out the back end. There is some inconsistency about who they are. I want to go to Clemson Wake on this note. Dabo Swinney said, "We don't have a single senior starting for us on offense now with Ross out." All right, desperate times call for desperate measures here. What's your feel on this? Because I sense if Wake goes in acting like Wake, they got a chance to win the ball game, Eric. I mean, a real good chance to win the ball
game. Yeah. No question, Wes. I think that they need to come in there and be very prideful, be very confident, and you know, not just look at that tiger paw and think that it's over. I mean, this is a Wake Forest offense that we haven't seen anybody even think about slowing down, mind you, being able to stop. So they just need to be who they are. And against Clemson these last, you know, 3-4 years, that hadn't been good. And I think a lot has to do with, you know, just scheme and what Clemson's going to try to do to you. But also, you know, thinking, okay, we're little Wake Forest coming into this game. We don't have a chance. You definitely have a chance. And you have unbelievable star power, A.T. Perry, Roberson. Sam Hartman has played his tail off. And then your big offensive line, they've got to continue to be who they are. This game will be won by Clemson if they are able to pull it out, by the defensive line controlling the line of scrimmage and getting pushed backwards, and then just the physicality and making plays out on the edge at cornerback. It's going to be our guys better than your guy who can win those matchups, because Sam's going to throw it up. He's going to trust A.T. Perry and Roberson and Marin and throw that ball up and say, okay, my guy's going to get it. Can an Andrew Booth, can a Mario Goodrich, those guys go up and make plays on the football. That's going to be the biggest determining factor in this game.
I think this game is a microcosm of the 2021 college football season. We are having a conversation with what I think are educated people that watch and follow the sport. And we're talking about, can a top 10 ranked team have a chance to beat an unranked
right,
team?
Exactly.
That's all you got to know. Forget about the names of the teams, where they're playing, all that. Can a top 10 team have a chance to beat an unranked team? It's all you need to know about this season.
It's nuts. It truly is. Pack, I'm with you. That's the same thoughts that I have. It also goes to tell you about, you know, this committee maybe not giving enough love to the Clemson Tigers and what they've been able to do defensively. I get the offensive struggles, but I think when you look at some of those teams that are ranked ahead of them, it makes you scratch your head just a little bit. And I know I'm a homer. I know there's a big orange jersey behind me, but you know, let's watch a little bit of the tape and look less at the statistics. When I saw a team in Michigan State beat Michigan, that team's better, clearly. But looking at that game again, I think offensively for Clemson, they have to establish the run. They have to get that thing going. You know, last week we saw NC State not able to run again for like the third, fourth consecutive team against one of the worst, you know, rush defenses in the country. So will Clemson try to play keep away? Will Shipley come back? Will Kobe Pace come back? Phil Maffa? And have big-time career days where they can play a little bit of keep away and then just try to frustrate Wake Forest. Those are kind of the keys on both sides there if Clemson wants to pull this thing out.
Mac, I know you're going to be hanging out here Friday in the basement. We'll get into this deeper, but I'm not a coach. Don't try to pretend to be one, even though I've got a theory about how you handle your quarterbacks in the media. But that's beside the point. But if you're Wake Forest, do you not just put 9 guys in the box? Hey, you don't have Justin Ross. You've been inconsistent throwing the football. We're not going to let you run. So go ahead and throw for 400 yards if you can do. I mean, is it – call me crazy, but I think Wake's going to score on everybody. Well, they've proven it. They're the only team in America.
That's what I would 30. Do.
And, you know, and just yeah. Say, hey, Clemson, no. I just don't think you could score 35 if we put 9 guys in the box. Go ahead and knock yourself out.
Right. That's exactly what I would do, Pack, against this team that, you know, struggled to find identity, struggled to find consistency. If there's a way to beat you, it's with that backfield. So if you're Wake, as you just said, load it up. Let's test them. Let's go one-on-one. Let's say that our corners are better than your passing ability. Maybe not talent for talent, your wide receivers, but your ability to get them the ball. And let's go press man. Let's have a little bit of help over the top at times, but load up the box and let's go. Let's bring some pressure. Let's stunt our defensive line. Let's make it hard to target, hard to get double teams on. We've seen this Clemson offensive line struggle big time trying to block folks when they're standing still, let alone when they're moving and twisting and stunning. So no question. I mean, this is going to be a fascinating game just to see the game plans from how much do people break their tendencies, what they've done all year long, just to get a competitive advantage, because I think that both can do that in this game.
All right, Roy Philpott, by the way, with Greg McElroy and Alyssa Lang.
First Clemson game ever, man. How about that?
Roy's getting to walk to a game. He and Dave O'Brien are on the ACC Network, right? ESPN family of walking to the game. I mean, I don't have to get in the car. No expense report. No per diem. It's easy.
I think that's too much.
I'm just going to
sit on the couch. All that walking will wear you out.
There you go. Hey, Eric. I want to get your reaction to a quote from Sam Howell. I am not ready to say that I'm declaring for the draft or ready to say that I'm coming back or anything like that. This could be my last home game. It could not be. Who knows?
Interesting quote.
Come on now. What are we doing here?
Yeah, I think that, of course, that's what everybody says, right? Trevor Lawrence said that. You know, he said that before he left, and we all knew he was leaving. I think Sam could. There could be some benefit of coming back, and we've seen it with Kenny Pickett. We've seen it from, you know, some other quarterbacks and what that could do for him. But this quarterback draft class is just – it's not elite. There's not a bunch of names. There's not a surefire guy at number one of who's going to be the first quarterback taken. So it's probably in his best interest to leave this season just in regards to opportunity and, you know, what this draft class really looks like. Because next year, it's going to be back and really loaded.
All right. Interesting. Surprised to hear that, Pack?
Not to say he couldn't headline that class, though. I mean, he totally could if he came back next year. So it's going to be interesting to see if this is actually a decision or him just talking.
First of all, it's his call, right? That's number one. Number two, as often as he's been hit because he's had to run so much this year, I mean, you got a whole new offensive line next year. Do whatever you got to do, my man. I love watching him play, but I think I'd go get some cash. That's what I'd go do. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing.
I agree.
And I'll follow up with what Eric said, and we'll certainly get more to this in the spring when we start projecting these guys after combines and workouts and the underwear Olympics. The idea of Sam Howell and his deep ball ability is incredibly attractive to the NFL. And in a unique thing, a unique thing has happened this year, Eric, and you know this because you played with a guy who had this ability. The minute they find out you can run and know how to protect yourself when you run, it changes your value at the next level exponentially.
No question. Yes, absolutely. Just because you can simply do more. And what you can do for that offense, the league is really trending towards, you know, quarterbacks being able to move, quarterbacks being able to run. And so I think that we've seen pioneers like a Lamar Jackson, who has revolutionized the position, who's probably going to go down as one of the best quarterbacks ever, to really open the door to say, okay, this is what we can do. Now we see the Kyler Murrays. Now we see guys taking these next steps and being able to be mobile. And so a guy like Sam Howell having this type of year, showing that he can run at a very effective pace, don't be surprised if he gets taken very early if he decides to leave.
Quickly, I just want to point out that according to that screen I'm looking at right there, FPI has North Carolina as a 99.3% chance to win, which means Wofford has a better chance to beat North Carolina than Virginia Tech does to win the Coastal Division, according to FPI.
That's a little low. I'm surprised it's not 99.9. Well, what's going on? Does FPI know something that we don't?
I just want to point that out for the record. For the record.
There we go. All right. A disappointing decision. The Huddle will be in studio this week. So Eric McClain is here on Friday morning with Packer in his traditional new role as the co-host of the Packer and McLean show, which will be here Friday morning at 7 a.m.
Pack and Mac.
Pack and Mac. Yeah, it's kind of Pack and Mac. I can
see going to the arm barn. Going to the arm barn for Friday mornings.
There we go. All right. There we have it. Sit tight when we come back. Be well, my man. See you soon.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, power hour is upon us. Kenny Pickett coming up in about 30 minutes. Looking forward to that, always.
Yeah.
As he's become beyond a regular. If he wasn't going to make so much money in the National Football League, he could be a co-host on this program.
We're probably going to need to have a conversation, not today with Kenny, but down the road about the application of the Packer and Durham hat at the appropriate time as he gets ready for the next level, don't you think?
Well, you know, I told you I had two bets this year with coaches.
Pat Narduzzi.
I said, Pat, because he talked about Packer and Durham gear. I said, if you get to Charlotte, I'll give you the last hat.
Yeah, there it is, right there.
All right. And the other one was Dave Dorn.
That's right.
Breaking bread, having pancakes.
Yep.
He even brought up bourbon the other day. So, again, NC State's still got a shot now. Yeah. I know the Wolfpack fans are bummed out with a loss in Switzerland, but there is still a chance for NC State to get there.
That's it. Brings us to the fan accounting. Here's our second helping of that on this Wednesday. Kev Smitty, picket passing AVP, Alex Van Pelt, that's number one, wearing pit gear at Penn State versus Michigan.
Nice. That's a good move. That's right a good one. That is a power move.
Yeah, we can kind of scrap the rest of this after that. He put that 1-2, by the way, because it was trumping 15 or 16. He went Wake 1, Pitt 2, State, Clemson, Virginia. TOM is Louisville. Florida State, Miami, Carolina, BC, Invaders of the North, Syracuse.
Boy, Duke. Duke Virginia had a tough
Tech,
week.
Georgia Tech, and Duke.
Duke's had a couple 16s this week, yeah, I'll notice.
All right, West Virginia Bearcat is next.
Oh, this guy's always funny.
4th and 14.
That's good. It's Florida State.
That is Florida State. Yo Lady Who.
No, Yo Lady Who.
I know. That's, the Swiss. Yeah, the Swiss. Pitt, NC State. Clemson without the O is hilarious. Team of mystery.
Inaccurate, by the way.
Team of mystery. Florida State, Virginia, Carolina. Invaders of the North, Syracuse is 10. BC 11. You mad, 2 seconds, 12. 03.
It's Virginia Tech.
Yeah. Virginia Tech
That's
is 03.
Funny.
Georgia
That's
Tech.
Funny.
15 is Go Coach K. And 16 is FP Lie.
Like it.
Yeah, I like
that. I am buying what WV Bearcat's selling up there.
Like well, it. Wait till you see what Roger Smith has done.
What's he got?
This is it.
What?
One is the Swiss. Two is Pitt. Three is Pack.
I think Wolfpack.
Wolfpack. Yeah. Clemson without the O is 4. 5 through 12 is no clue.
White flagged it. Put the white flag on it.
13 is Syracuse. 14 is Duke. Texas SEC lost to Big 12. Oklahoma SEC lost to Big 12 is 15 and 16.
I'm telling you, Bob Bowlesby had a really nice weekend.
Yeah, he did.
He won't admit it in public, but I'm telling you, Bob Bowlesby sat back Saturday night going,
All right.
What a shame.
Tyson Boatnight is our last fan accounting. Number one is 500 shows.
That's awful.
Very kind of you. Yeah. Number two, going to the rowing championships.
That's what we're talking about.
Picking up momentum.
Yeah.
And then we go with the normal 14 schools, Wake, Pitt, State, Clemson, Louisville, Florida State.
Another 16.
Miami, Carolina, Virginia, BC, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, and Duke. That's the rundown.
If Duke upsets Team of Mystery, is there any way they get out of the cellar?
Yeah. Yeah, because that's a good win. That's a really good win.
Do you think they could leapfrog Georgia Tech?
The Institute? The Institute's finish here is not easy.
It's not looking too hot, is it?
No, the Institute is at Notre Dame and Georgia at home.
Play hard.
Yeah.
Strap it on.
And Notre Dame
tight.
And Notre Dame has to have good optics.
Oh, there's no question.
Because the Irish, I was noticing this last night, giving a glance of the Irish are kind of in that weird neighborhood right now.
Well, they need help.
They do need help, but they're also the beneficiaries of the help. Those teams in front play, right?
Yeah, they also have the loss to Cincinnati.
I understand
that. Keep that in mind.
I understand that.
But, of course, we've already found out head-to-head, quite frankly, doesn't mean that much to the committee.
I guess it doesn't this year.
We've already found that out.
What in the world, right?
The Packer and Durham Podcast.